Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, Belarus has been banned from this year's Eurovision Song Contest after repeatedly submitting songs which mocked anti-government protesters. Belarus's long-serving president, Alexander Lukashenko, is still clinging to power after disputed elections last November, which sparked widespread protests. This is simply the latest political controversy to encroach on the Eurovision, and we're joined now by Russell Alford, who writes about food, travel and all things Eurovision at GastroGaze, to tell us more. And Russell, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We might start with this latest one before we get into some of the history. Why has the Eurovision taken this stance against Belarus?
Well, essentially, over the past couple of months, every country has been selecting their songs that will take part at Rotterdam's contest in May. And Belarus chose their song internally, a bit like how RTE has done it. The broadcaster picks an act and whatnot. They submitted a song in early March, and instantly the reaction online, in particular from a lot of the fan communities in particular, were concerned about the messaging of the song. The title of it translated into English as I'll Teach You, and the message about it was very political. It had hallmarks about control and the likes. So there was a bit of a pushback from a lot of fans towards the EBU about its qualification for it, because within the rules of the contest, the lyrics and or performance of the songs shall not bring the shows, the ESC or the EBU into disrepute. No lyrics, speeches, gestures or political, commercial or similar nature shall be permitted during the ESC. And I'm sure you and many other people are going, ha, good one. Because there has been numerous incidents over the 60 plus years of the Eurovision Song Contest that there has been controversy.
Yeah, and tell us about one of those then, because a recent example was when there was political unrest, other political unrest in Eastern Europe, and the song 1944 came out in 2016.
That's correct. So 1944 was the winning song by Jamala for Ukraine in Stockholm 2016. And this had the subject matter of it was about Jamala's family, who were Crimean Tartars, who were put out of their land by Stalinist troops during 1944. And the song was also in Crimean Tartar as well as English. And there was a lot of people assuming that this would be a political song, especially Russia. It ended up winning the contest overall, and in the last very few moments of the contest, the points was between Russia and Ukraine. So we were seeing diplomatic relations playing out in front of us on the Eurovision stage. It was quite a nail-biting moment. The following year, though...
Hold on now, I'm going to stop you there, Russell, because we want to hear this song, 1944. This is Ukraine's winning entry from 2016. Let's take a listen.
When strangers are coming, they come to your house, they kill you all and say, we're not guilty, not guilty.
Holy Mother of God, Russell.
Huh? I know.
That won, did it?
That won the Eurovision Song Contest, but remember, at Eurovision, it's a very diverse competition of musical style, subjects and variety, so you never know what you're going to get.
Come here, well, I think it's time for another song.
Because
there's another controversy that you mentioned to us before the programme. Is it La La La?
That's
I can't
correct.
Believe a Eurovision song was entitled La La La.
And it's not actually the Eurovision song with the most la la la's in it either, but that's quite a surprise. Go on, so let's have a listen to it.
Go on, let's hear this. Before we do, this is the Spanish entry, I think, and you'll explain afterwards why it was controversial.
La!
Ah, jeez, there was no need to play that at all, Jamie. Sure, I could have sung that myself.
Russell, you should have.
This makes a complete mockery of the explanation, but go on.
Now, so the interesting thing is that is just the chorus of the song. This was Spain's winning entry in 1968. The contest was held in London, beating none other than Cliff Richards by 1 point in that particular final. La 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 was actually originally supposed to be performed by Juan Manuel Serrat, who intended to sing it in Catalan. However, the Francoist state had a lot of repression against regional languages, and he wanted to make a point, so he chose Masael instead to sing La La La. And listen to the rest of the words, because there are actual Spanish words in that
please,
as well.
Please, the point what's this, La 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 in Catalan?
La La La, would la, you believe? La. Sung very differently, though.
No parlo catalan.
But then this was seen very much as an opportunity for Franco to fix and boost the image of Spain abroad. And there was even a state of emergency being held when the contest took place the following year in 69. And they suspended it just to allow delegations come along and take part at Eurovision.
And you mentioned it beat Cliff Richard, and that was with the song Congratulations.
That's correct, yes.
Amazing. And that beat Congratulations. Look, there you go.
Oh, no.
Was it ever the Eurovision about the songs, do you think, Russell? Or has it always been about people voting for each other? You know, the politics of it, really.
Well, this is a really interesting discussion because I could go on for hours about it, but I think the Taoiseach has to speak very shortly. But basically, especially in countries that have neighbours or that have shared borders, culturally speaking, some people call it block voting, but let's look at the Irish chart and the British chart. They're very, very similar. We share a lot of musical artists, styles and interests. So naturally we may gravitate, and as a result Ireland will give points to the UK, and similarly Greece and Cyprus always give each other points. The Nordic countries, they understand each other's languages probably better than anyone from outside of them. So there is a bit of a thing of, you know, the cultural alignments that happen with music and language and style more than anything else, especially now that so many of the songs are actually in English anyway.
But I wonder, do you think we have ever a chance of winning again after our winning streak, whenever it was, 20 years ago, or is it longer than that now? Probably
oh,
is.
Oh, it's longer than that. But we do. I believe we do. This year is a tough contest. We have Leslie Roy, who was due to represent us last year. It's representing us again with the song Maps, and it's a fantastic song. Our stumbling block is we are in the first semi-final, which has most of the big favourites in it. And this is going to be a hard one, but I think Leslie can do it. It's getting a great reaction from fan pages and fans alike all around the world at the moment. And once we get out of the semi-final, we are into the final, and I think we will do very, very well on this occasion. So
May 22nd for the final?
That is correct. May 22nd, the semi-final is on the 18th.
And will fans be allowed?
A small number of local fans look to be allowed, so they've scaled back and come up with different scenarios for the contest. And there will be an audience, but it'll be mostly Dutch locals.
All right, well, if we get that far, Russell, we'll have to have you back to talk to us in a bit more detail about what we can expect this year. But thank you so much for joining us today. That's Russell Alford from GastroGaze.
Good man, Russell. I think our stumbling block is that we haven't put in an entry with 55 la-las in the lyrics.